Bonk.
Dan.
Hello.
Damn, Daniel. Remember when that was all the rage?
Yes.
And kids were walking around saying, damn, Daniel.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago. We really get to use a podcast in the can, well, in advance here.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, it's 2015?
We are, I am 25, possibly 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have a lot of life to live. And there's still qualities about myself that are immature. And I hope to soon advance and mature in the coming 5 years.
Yeah, I'm, you know, going into my 30s here. And I have to imagine that it's just going to be real great. I just got to make sure that, you know, as my body ages and deteriorates and begins falling off of this mortal coil as I am past. It's too dramatic for 30.
Yeah, you're only 30.
Like, yeah, it's like my elbow hurts every once in a while. And like my foot's still bad.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm fine.
You are fine. You will become less fine as the years go on. I suspect some issues with your foot and maybe some calf action and perhaps some neck stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I hope it doesn't get dramatically bad as I get older, but, you know, that tends to happen to all of us, I guess, you know?
Maybe, I don't know. What do I know? I'm only 24 or 25.
That's true. You should know that, probably.
Well, I don't know.
Hi, that's our intro to our Bachelor episode of the Painting the Stream.
Do you remember, when I was a young bachelor, and what? I had scores of women lining up to date me. And every few minutes, one would come around and be like, excuse me, I'd like to talk to Bonk. And I would say, sorry, lady, I have to talk to this other fine feline lady.
Feline? They're not cats.
Well, what? For me, they were.
What the hell are you talking about?
They were cats. What can I say? It was a weird time in my life when I was looking for the perfect cat. And
you never had a cat. Again, improv masters here.
Well, look, it didn't work out, okay? Spoiler alert. It didn't work out for me in my season of The Bachelor. But I had some great experiences that I will hold near and dear to my heart for the rest of my life.
Do you think it's fun? Do you think in a different life in which you were a man who was The Bachelor,
mm-hmm.
do you think that would be fun or would that just be constantly stressful?
I, like, just looking at it from, like, my own perspective, if I was a woman in the position, like, I don't know if things change if you're a guy or whatever, but as a lady, I would feel really weird about, like, kissing a bunch of different people. Like, that would feel so weird to me. Like, one of the things about The Bachelor that was surprising, which I don't know if we mentioned this, but we watched season 23 of The Bachelor. That's what this
yes,
is
the
about.
Colton Underwood season.
Yeah, he's
yes.
a virgin. I just wanted to state that at the top.
Oh, they'll tell you 8 times an episode.
Yeah, he is a virgin, so I think we should make sure the audience is constantly reminded that he's never put his penis inside of a vagina.
Not at once.
Not one time.
No.
It's never been up there.
Up there.
Anyway, yeah, I would feel weird about kissing a lot of people. The whole aspect of it where it's like you're actually dating a bunch of people and not just like, they make it seem more like he's in relationships with these people rather than it being like a weird weird reality show competition type of thing. So that would be really hard for me because like, especially if I knew early on that I had a preference for like one or two of them.
Or that you absolutely like don't like one of them, but the producers are like, hey, listen, they're good for ratings. Keep them around, you know?
Exactly. I would suspect that, you know, I mean, if 30 objectively attractive men were placed in front of me, there's a good chance I probably would only like maybe one or zero of them. You know what I mean? Whether or not they're attractive, they might not just not be for me. So he, like, for Colton to, you know, have all these women that are, you know, obviously gorgeous women and, you know, different, some personalities are terrible. Some are fine. They range from terrible to fine.
Are there any? We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. It's just got to be really hard to kind of play that game because how do you pretend to be interested in someone romantically to the point where, you know, they are able to entertain the idea of marrying you, and you entertain the idea of marrying them. How do you perpetuate that realistically? You know what I mean? How do you not make it too obvious? I watching the show, it became pretty obvious who Colton like truly had affections for versus who he didn't. You know, there were members of the cast that he didn't really talk to at all. But yeah, that's got to be a weird part of it. You know what I mean? And obviously this is, you know, we can both just kind of project and assume. It's all pure conjecture what it would be like to be in this situation. It's not something I would ever want to do, but it's an interesting thing to think about. It's one of the more intriguing aspects of The Bachelor to me was, you know, the human experimentation aspect of it. Like, what happens when we put this one guy, these 30 women, you know, all of these 30 women know nothing but each other for however many weeks. They live in the same house together. All they, like, they're just, you know, obsessed with this one person, all essentially fighting over him.
The one thing they inherently have in common is that they all are thinking about him and fighting for him.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that really struck me watching the show was how almost, like, there was this cult of Colton. You know what I mean? Like, all the girls talked about just how great he is. It was just so ridiculous and strange. That's one of the things that I wish the show leaned more into, how weird it was, rather than into this, like, weird romance fantasy.
That's the thing, is I think the show wants to present itself as, like, we're just telling the story of love. And it's like, well, no, it's this incredibly manufactured, like, expertly produced, you know, version of this. Not quite game show, but certainly not a genuine. This isn't Terrace House, where it feels like we are actually just a fly on the wall for this thing. This is it has a lot of the tropes of reality TV stuff, where it's like, oh, Terry Crews and his wife are going to do a bunch of wacky obstacle courses or whatever. You know, it's like, but then at the same time, it's like, oh, here's some like real ass conversations that happen.
Right.
And there are a lot of times that are it does kind of shed all the reality TV stuff and everything and gets very real, it seems, and I believe that because none of these people are actors, you know, like, and I cannot imagine they'd be good enough for, like, some of these conversations. Like, there's a lot of tears happening here.
Sure, yeah, there's different levels to it. I think there are moments where people are being very honest about their personal experiences and their past that struck a very real note because they're speaking from the heart, versus, you know, situations that would provoke emotions from any of the girls or Colton. But at the end of the day, they are situations that are artificial. They're created by the show. So it's not like it's, even when it feels real, it's not really real because it's an unnatural situation. You know, I don't have a ton of experience watching reality shows, especially like the love-based ones. Love is Blind is one that we watched last year, right? Was that last year?
Yeah, we did 2019? That for the podcast, yeah.
And that was, I feel like the earlier part of that show was more on rails, and there was, it was obviously a very different show, but then after that initial step where the two people would choose each other or however it went down, it was kind of more open, whereas this is in a way kind of on rails the whole time, with slight deviations. For example, I was surprised at how girls could leave willingly at any point and how Colton could just, as he so chose, would eliminate people outside of the rose ceremony.
It'd be pretty fucked up if they couldn't leave willingly. It's like, well, they have to scale a wall.
I guess what I mean is, like, well, Colton actually did scale a wall.
Actually, that's very true.
What I mean is, like, not that they couldn't leave willingly, but that they could just decide, like, oh, I actually don't want to do this anymore, so I'll just leave. Or I don't have feelings for them. Like, they weren't kind of forced to play the game.
I kind of like that because, for me, that kind of removes some of that ridiculous, like, game showy competition thing of it. Because, like, that kind of reminds you that these are real people and there are actual kind of emotions and relationships and stakes going on here, where it's like some of these girls just decided they weren't ready to get married or they just weren't feeling close enough with him and they didn't feel right about it. And they're like, I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
And like that made it actually feel more real to me.
Yeah, you know? No, I agree. I appreciate that aspect of it. It was in some ways, it was kind of the highlights for me was when that would happen, because it was not only moments of like kind of the reality seeping through, but also it would kind of throw a wrench in what your expectations were. You don't really expect that to happen. You expect all the eliminations to take place during the rose ceremony. So when that would happen, it would kind of instill this feeling of like, oh, well, actually anyone can leave at any time.
Yeah, I would say there were like four or five times where people were just like, they left. And several of the women even like kind of warned Colton about like, hey, some of these girls that are still here, they're not here because they love you. They're here because they're already talking about, like, being the next Bachelorette or whatever. So, like, I don't know. It is really interesting. I wonder how many contestants, both on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, go into this because of that, you know, like, this is this huge thing. I'm going to become instantly famous. This is one of the most popular shows in the world. Versus, I wonder how many go in there thinking, like, I'm doing this to find love. They all say that.
They all say it, know? Of course. Yeah, I would be highly doubtful that what the first motivation that you mentioned wasn't the primary motivation in a lot of these women's minds, especially, like, when you consider... They only know Colton based on what they've seen in the previous Bachelor season. They don't know him as a full person. If you want to find love, there are easier ways to do it. I mean, you don't know that this person, just because he might be handsome in your mind, like, is not going to satisfy you. And then you would also be setting yourself up to have this obligation for however many weeks, if you did like him, to play that game against a bunch of other women. So, you know, you would have to be willing to overlook the fact that you're competing against a bunch of other women. If you do like him, you have to see him make out with other women and go on dates
constantly,
with other women.
And then live with those women.
And then live with them. You have to remove yourself from life for several weeks. And there's no guarantee that once you get to know Colton or whoever the bachelor or bachelorette is, that you'd like him. So you'd have to overlook all that stuff. And I think that the driving force of fame and popularity and attention would be greater than the driving force of wanting to be with Colton, because there's only one you. There's countless people out there that you can potentially, you know, hook up with or develop a relationship with that you don't even know yet. But you know, you're going to be in your life for your life. You know what I mean? You're only going to have this one experience. So I could see that being a greater driving force. If someone actually does desire fame, I could see that being a greater driving force than love. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, because I feel like even if you don't win, I would have to imagine that if you make it at least a few episodes in and you have a couple scenes or whatever, that in terms of like social media and everything, and that is such a currency. Yeah, that's a real thing nowadays. You know, it's, I don't know, a lot of people, a lot of times when people talk about social media, they talk about it as like, oh, they just want to get their likes, they just want to see these numbers go up. But it's like, there is an actual currency to it. It's like, if you get to a certain point, it's like, doors open easier.
Absolutely.
And so, like, I could see that as a real driving force. But like, let me just get on, let me make myself known, let me be a wacky character, good or bad, is the thing. Like, a great example is Demi. Demi is straight up just like the heel in this season.
Well, do you want to start talking about the women or... I just, you know, I feel like we should talk about more broadly.
Sure, yeah, but just using her as an example, and we'll elaborate later, but, like, you know, she is, there's a woman named Demi on this that is pretty much hated, and, like, she's definitely presented as, like, look at this catty girl, you know, there's almost never any kind of, like, sympathetic, like, moments with her in the show. But even her, I'd have to imagine, is, like, pretty damn famous now. You know, I actually saw when I was Googling about this, there's some, like, controversy happening with her right now. She's, like, a known person that was literally, like, completely off the radar before the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, there has to be some very real draw for people that are, like, went out to L.A. but maybe don't have the acting chops, or they've done a bunch of auditions and it's not happening for them in that regard. So they're like, well, I'm attractive, I could do the show. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think any of the women featured on the show had a background in, you know, that they want to pursue acting or anything like that.
Sure. Yeah.
Especially with how social media works now, where, like, if you're a pretty or an attractive person on Instagram, you know, Instagram is a photo sharing platform. Like, if you look nice in photos, if you have a good sense of style, or you can just outsource that and hire someone to develop your sense of style or your brand or whatever.
And you just sit where they tell you to sit.
Yeah.
And wear the clothes they tell you to. Yeah.
Exactly. You could take that initial interest from your Bachelor fame and leverage that into, like, a decent social media following. And that alone could get you, a substantial income stream if you play your cards right. But, even now, I mean, like, if you're on The Bachelor, you are guaranteed, I think, a certain level of at least internet attention, for sure.
Did I ever tell you that I'd seen a season of The Bachelor before, and this was years ago, it was probably like 2012 or something like that, and in the first episode, a girl I worked with in college was on. She was a contestant, and I was like, wait, that's Lisa from KU? Like, what the hell? And I think she got eliminated, like, right away. But it's just such a shocker. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, someone like that like, gets on and gets eliminated in the first or second episode. I have to imagine they're kind of forgettable because they're not even memorable in the context of the show. I have to wonder if in these early episodes where, you know, they bring up the limos and they bring everyone out and everyone tries to get a moment with Colton, they have to film stuff with every, maybe it's over the course of 2-3 nights or something like that. I'm just guessing. I don't know how this is produced, but I'm guessing that they probably film stuff, at least some sort of conversation with Colton and each one of the women, and then decide which ones it's like, okay, we have this much time to play with, you know, after commercials and runtime and everything. These are the ones we're going to feature. And then, like, if nothing just ever happens with those women, I would have to imagine there's some pushing of just like, okay, nothing's happening here. Like, you know, we're not getting anything of note, you know, from your conversations with her. Let's go ahead and, like, not give her a rose for this one.
Yeah, yeah. I think, too, like, if you look back on, like, the little vignettes in the first episode for some of the contestants, those were all contestants that stuck around for a while. Mm-hmm. At the very least, they stuck around for a few weeks. And the ones that were eliminated in that first week, I don't believe they were featured in any capacity.
That's right. Yeah. So they probably shoot that with everyone. Mm-hmm. Of like, hey, we're at your hometown. Tell us who you are, you know? And
well,
then,
I doubt, you think they go to everyone's hometown? I mean, granted, this is a huge production.
I bet.
Yeah.
There's major money behind this thing. And like, send a small film crew out there, you know, send like, you know, you could probably shoot those things with 2 or 3 people, get a lighting guy, get a camera guy, mm-hmm. and then just have them like, okay, tell us about your family. Tell us about, you know, what's your job? What do you do? Why are you on The Bachelor? You know, that's layup stuff, I think. And then after you get a bunch of them in the can and you kind of know which way things are going, it's like, oh, okay, we know Cassie and Hannah are going to be players here. So let's air their stuff so we get the fuller picture.
Because mm-hmm.
there were other ones, man, in the first 30, I don't know if you want to go to that.
Yeah, let's
do it. There are ones that like 4 or 5 episodes in, we'll just see them at a rose ceremony or something and be like, who is this again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. That was that girl that did the Australian accent when she came out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, ah, man.
Otherwise inconsequential. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And then like, I don't know. I'm always a fan of the gimmicks at the limo thing because it's the first impression thing. And for Colton, I'm sure it's just like, here is this just, what's the word for a thing you stand on? And it just
merry-go-round?
No, it's you stand at the airport or something. It's not an escalator, not an,
a moving sidewalk.
Not a, well, yeah, I've heard people call it that, a moving sidewalk. There's a better, not revolving door. I mean, the concept is similar.
A thing that keeps happening over and over again?
Yeah, a thing that keeps happening over and over again. That's what I was on the tip of my tongue. Yes.
I just want to say, because I don't think I mentioned this at the top, but this is the first season of The Bachelor I've ever seen.
Yes, and you seemed, were you pretty hooked right away? Because for the record, we got kind of hooked on this, mm-hmm. and we don't binge stuff very often. And in fact, there are like shows like The Wire that we wanted to watch together for like years, and it's just like, ah, oh, it's a whole commitment. And then here we are watching like, you know, 4 hours of The Bachelor in a row.
Well, unlike The Wire, The Bachelor is one of those shows like I could play threes and watch it at the same time.
Yes.
Like it's not
There is fluff,
and also being able to stream it on HBO means not having to sit through commercials, being able to skip any of the BS like live show aspect.
Yeah,
of
the premiere thing was lame.
Yeah. So that was advantageous as well. I don't know if I'll necessarily ever want to watch another season of it. Certainly if I did, it would not be watching it live. But I will say this show is expertly produced, and it, you know, it knows what it's doing. It produces a chemical in my brain that tells me more, much in the same way that like a Big Mac does. It's kind of just the same thing, like empty calories.
That's a good comparison. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun and interesting, and I could totally see why it's as hugely popular as it is, because, you know, not only is the situation compelling and everyone involved is very attractive, but you have this massive palette of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
30 people from the beginning, it starts with 30 people. Every person is unique and different, and, you know, some want to stir the pot, and some are more, you know, quiet and a little more boring, some are shy, some are, you know, this or that, and it's a confluence of so many different things, on top of just being edited in a way that just keeps the tension up, keeps your interest up, really does a good job of building up cliffhangers, teasing things out, I think it helped too that like Colton wasn't unlikable. You know,
no.
He seemed like a solid dude.
Mm-hmm.
It was an extremely like one of those things that it just works. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily for me. I, like I said, can't see myself watching another season, but it is. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's expertly edited and produced. Mm-hmm. Like, even the coming up, you know, type stuff, or this season on, they're so good at, like, they don't spoil things, but they give you a little taste of something where it's like, oh, they're going to get a fight. What's that fight going to be mm-hmm. about? Like, you don't know. And they'll even, like, cut things where it's like, you'll see a girl say, like, I think you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. And it'll cut to, like, a girl crying. And you're like, oh, wait, they get in a fight? But then when you get to the actual thing, you realize, like, oh, that's from two different scenes. Or we never even saw that one scene. Yeah. Or they flipped the camera or something to make it look more like something. Like, yeah. They super know what they're doing.
The most devious editing definitely happens in the coming up next kind of things.
Yes.
Because those are like, yeah, like, shots will be inverted. So it looks like a girl is facing this way when they air it, she's facing the other way. They'll kind of build your expectations that way for some kind of conflict between two characters that never actually happen.
They got some real mileage out of Colton jumping over a fence that we saw during every coming up for like 13 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, I will say it was an extremely impressive jump. It's like an 8-foot tall, kind of like a compound type of fence.
Yeah.
And he clears it in one single jump. I mean, it's insanity.
Former professional athlete.
First of all, I wouldn't even be able to jump up to touch the top of it.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm 5 feet tall and, I'm in decent shape, but I'm certainly no athlete. I'm not even a mathlete, to be honest. I'm nothing. I'm just nothing. I'm air.
I don't know. I saw you dancing to Return of the Mac earlier. You had some moves, at least.
Well, I am a dancer. I'm an NBA dancer, just like Sydney, among our Bachelorette contestants. Yes. I'm secretly an NBA dancer.
Really?
Yeah. I.
What team?
The Bushwick Bulls.
Oh, you're a Bushwick dancer? You're a Bushwick Belle? That's what they call the dance squad there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a Belle.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How did I know? Been married to you for a long time.
I'm pretty secretive about it.
Really?
Yeah, because I thought that you wouldn't like me prancing around in a tiny outfit. But I assure you, it's merely the most breathable thing I could wear, and it really helps my moves. It helps my moves, and it helps me ensure that my groove is always preserved, and my passion for the Bulls is always communicated fully to the audience.
What's the only time you feel alive is when you're dancing?
Actually, yeah, it's the only time.
Yeah,
I am alive, and I'm dead in any other circumstance. I'm dead right now.
Oh. Learning. Wow, I've been with you a long time, learning some things about you.
You've been dating a dead girl.
A dead Bushwick
Living
Bulls
dead
dancer.
Girl. Yeah.
You with your Rob Zombie references.
What are you thinking about?
We're going to get DMCA'd if you keep doing that.
Girl. Who says yeah more, Rob Zombie or Hetfield? Hetfield. Yeah,
I think Hetfield's more of a yeah, and Rob Zombie's yeah.
I feel like with Hetfield, it's more of like a punctuation on his phrases, whereas in Rob Zombie, it's an actual lyric.
It's part of the chorus.
Yeah, exactly.
Burn with the Witches, yeah.
If you look it up, that would be part of the lyric. Well, yeah.
Hetfield's just too into the thrash, and he just has to let out the occasional yeah. The 30 women.
Yes, there's 30 of them, and they're all ladies.
I was going to go into the gimmicks at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. I do appreciate a good gimmick. I thought Kaylin had a solid one. Some of the gimmicks are too gimmicky. The sloth is too gimmicky. I liked it. It made me laugh a lot, but I didn't think she was going to get taken seriously. And she hangs out in that sloth thing for like a while at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, she's in, I mean, that whole... introductory evening, she was in the sloth costume pretty much the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
When she finally took off the costume, I was surprised to see that her makeup was in perfect condition. I expected her to be very sweaty in that outfit. I expected her hair to be a little frizzy, but miraculously, she looked like she just stepped out of the salon, which deserves props because
again?
Deserves recognition because a lesser woman, her mascara would have been runny. Her face would have been shiny and sweaty. It would have been bad. It's a big risk to do that for many reasons.
Are you forgetting the magic of television?
Well, didn't she take her sloth costume off right in front of Colton?
Yeah, but that can be... You can massage that.
All right.
You can do a cut to the back of the head, and then, there's a point where we can bring him in. Let's clean that up. Let's get that. Fix your hair, and then cut back.
That is a distinct possibility that I hadn't considered. But yes, Sloth Girl, I will say, she was very memorable.
Yes.
But I don't know her beyond the fact that she did that. I think that reflects very highly on her as a person, that she would rather put her silly foot forward rather than her sexy foot forward.
Yes.
I feel like when you're walking into a room with 29 other women that you know are going to be in their early 20s and drop dead gorgeous, like, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't try to compete on the physical level. I would just try to show my personality. And it seemed like that's what Sloth Girl did, which, you know, like I said, I have respect for her. Unfortunately, it didn't work out very well for her.
Yeah, I can't remember her name, frankly.
Well, her name, Daniel, was Alex D. She's 23, and she's an IT account manager. So
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, an IT account manager, I would assume that comes with it a certain level of intelligence. And it, you know, being smart and being funny is, those are really good qualities. And I was sorry to see Sloth Girl go as early as she did.
Yeah, but I understand it. She didn't seem to, outside of the sloth gimmick, didn't really, seem to like, we had like one conversation with her and it was kind of unnoteworthy, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, and I will say, that to detract a little bit from the gimmick is the fact that she wore the sloth costume, which was because, Colton is a virgin and he takes things slow.
Yeah. If it was totally random, I would like that more because, like, why would you do that? But here it's like, okay, I get the joke. She's walking towards him, like, you take things slow. And so,
yeah.
All right, I still appreciate the gimmick, but total randomness would have been funnier there.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Oh, and by the way, we are going to rank these contestants. I don't know if we
mentioned
that.
We're going to rank it in order of, because we don't know who these people are. Mm-hmm. We've only seen them on the ABC's The Bachelor.
And that's what we're judging them by.
We're basing it, yeah, and that's the thing, too. In just doing a couple Googles of this, it seems like there's just always a billion controversies with hosts and contestants and The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and all that stuff. We have no idea who these people are. We are not. We may be now officially part of Bachelor Nation, but we're certainly not deep enough to know what these people are like outside the show. So the ranking will be from worst to best, who we would want to do a cross-country road trip with.
Right. And if we happen to choose someone who, like, let's say, secretly, like, was part of that raid on the Capitol building.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know that. That's not factoring in. So,
so we're like, oh, this person's great. And then it's like, we just see a mugshot or something. Oh, shit.
Yeah. So if that is the case, that's, we didn't know any of that stuff. We're just judging purely on what we saw on this TV show.
We do know one thing, and we'll go into that about Colton. Boy, that we'll get to that at the end.
He's a virgin?
What? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Kaylin's gimmick I enjoyed because it made a point, it was memorable, and it was kind of clever. She came out with a, like, Miss South Carolina or wherever the fuck she's from sash, and because she'd won Miss South Carolina, I'm just gonna say that, I don't know if it's the right thing, and she goes, I was Miss South Carolina, and then rotates it around, but I'd rather be known now as Miss Underwood. It's like, oh, that's a clever gimmick. It's not too gimmicky, but it's memorable.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not a fan of props in general. I feel
not like full Carrot Top, you know?
Well, yeah, I know. I feel like it's best to just put yourself out there and say hi, be polite, you know, flutter your eyelashes and, you know, stun him that way.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to bring out the sashes or the nuts as...
Oh, right, the nuts thing.
As Erica McNutt did.
Oh, she did that to make him remember the name, right?
Yeah.
The dumbest was Bree, who did the Australian accent, and then, like, she did the whole thing, no joke about the Australian accent, or she was like, oh, you know, that's not an Australian accent.
Do it, Susan.
Oh, I've heard you like women with Australian accents. Is that pretty good?
I have no idea what that is.
That was Australian.
It's like Catherine O'Hara from Schitt's Creek.
But she does that, and there's not like a joke or a gimmick to it. She just says in a thing afterwards, like, oh no, I figured that'd be memorable, like, to do an accent. But then she never does it again, and it's like, well, what the hell? What? That's just confusing.
Yeah, man. And what I really wanted to see was her sharing with Colton that the accent was actually a fake. I wanted to see his reaction to that, but we never got that.
Yeah, maybe they shot it and it just wasn't exciting at all. I tell you, the one I immediately was suspicious of is the one that shows up in the, like, carriage in the Disney Princess. It's... I don't remember who that was. Who was that?
That would be Erin. She's 28 and she's a home improvement employee.
Got it. Okay. Oh, from Tool Time, the show. No. I can't do an Australian accent.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
But no, the
Damn,
whole...
you're sexy.
The Tim Allen gets him going. The whole princess thing reminds me of just that girl, Drew's girlfriend in Search Party season 4, where it's just like, there's just something off about that. We're just like, you're too into this as an adult. Like, it's fine to have nostalgia and to be into it, yeah. But like...
any adult woman who dresses up as a pretty little princess, I'd be a little weary of her.
It's just, I just extremely can't relate to that, and... I don't want to say it'd be a red flag if I was a single man, but I would just be like,
Now, if she dressed up as a queen, that's a different story. That would be, I would be confused, but I would appreciate it because it's ballsy. Whereas Pretty Princess is like, oh, I want to be pampered and,
yeah, or like
oh, puffs.
What about like a femme fatale, like a Bond girl type thing,
well,
or something?
Now we're talking.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's you can have respect for that.
High
for sure.
Slit, black strapless gown. Flowing hair coming down in the front, like Anna Joy Taylor at the Golden Globes in her beautiful green gown. Man, what a specimen she is!
I don't know who that is.
She is the star of Queen's Gambit.
Oh, okay.
She has these massive eyeballs that are really striking, and she's like a little porcelain doll level of beauty. But anyway, yeah, I love that femme fatale look. But again, that's kind of bordering on gimmicky.
Yeah, don't want to get too gimmicky.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I was not into Bree's whole, or Aaron's whole thing anyway.
So, let's, while we're talking about this, I think we've hit most of the big gimmicks here. Let's just start, you know, just like Colton at the end of the first episode had to start deciding who wouldn't be getting a rose. Let's do some quick cuts here. Let's, we got 30 to rank. We're going to run through it pretty quick here. Who would you least want to ride in a car with?
Real quick, just a logistical question.
Sure.
Does it make the most sense to rank them or just eliminate them and then we'll end up with the final one?
You know what? We can do this. We can do this Colton style here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just eliminate them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I think, you know, if you're playing the home game, you know, you can probably make assumptions based on how early in this process we eliminate someone, like where a number 30, number 29 ranking would go.
Right. Yeah. I think just by virtue of the fact that the women that were eliminated first, we just don't really even know them. Mm-hmm. I think there's a high chance that they would be, you know, cut.
And we have not talked about this ahead of time, so we have no idea who our winner is going to be here, but we'll work through this together. So first off, okay, cross-country road trip. I'm not going to eliminate the sloth as quickly as Colton did, because maybe she'd be fun and silly and entertaining for a car ride.
So I agree. I totally agree with that.
Oh, you know who I'm going to cut right away? Heather, 23, never been kissed.
Yeah.
Nothing going on there.
Nothing going on there. You can tell because her distinguishing characteristic is that she's never been kissed.
Yeah.
There
is a point where he takes her to it's called a floating city, and she comes back and excitedly tells the other girls that he took me to a floating island, which pretty sure all islands are floating.
Yeah, she seems like there's not a lot there.
So, okay, I think cross-country road trip type of situation, she would be, boredom is your worst enemy with anything like a road trip, and she was boring.
Yeah, I think, it was a very confusing situation because she's, got a rockin' bod, long blonde hair, and I think, if I remember correctly, like, lived in L.A. or something. So how she avoided being smooched is beyond me. But even I've been smooched at that point in my life. But hey, what are you going to do? So yeah, the fact that it's not just that she hasn't been smooched, it's that that was like her whole thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I did like the gimmick but at the bottom of the screen, like the lower third, it was never been kissed. Was always like, it was her job is not getting kissed. That's what do you do for a living?
It must have been her job because how could she avoid it for so long?
I guess so. You know, takes her job seriously, you know? But then after spoiler, she does kiss Colton at a certain point and they change it to just has been kissed is her defining characteristics. So that should tell you a lot right there about her and the excitement levels around Heather. Yeah. All right. So she's gone. Next up, let me just look through this list here.
So I would offer up for elimination the Cinderella girl, Erin, 28.
I don't remember anything except for the Cinderella thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take her out. I would offer up, who is Courtney? Caterer? Oh, yeah, okay. She stayed around for a while. Let's see. Alex B.
Well, actually, let's talk about Courtney. Because Courtney, she was there for a few weeks. She ended up getting eliminated in week 4. There was a lot of conflict between her and Demi. But her whole thing was, like, she wanted time with Colton. But she would never actually go out of her way to get the time, and she would never really talk to him. She never had anything to say to him, even at the the tell-all like reunion type of thing. She didn't have anything to say.
It was just
to
a drama
him.
Thing. It's like she was there. At least what they showed us, which again, you always have to kind of run that through your head of like, wait, is this all they do is complain about the other girls, or is this who the producers have decided, like, that's the personality aspect they want to show of her. Mm-hmm. But again, we can only base this off what we've seen. And she was basically there to just complain about the other girls. So I would say that would grate on me if I was in a car and Absolutely. She was just complaining about everyone in her life.
Don't want that.
I would say Brie, the Australian accent, the fake accent girl.
Now, wait a minute.
Okay.
That is a weird move for her. There wasn't a lot going on. She wasn't heavily featured. But it is weird to fake an accent. That is a weird thing. And it makes me think, like, maybe there's something there. Because for someone to behave so strangely, for no real gain, just kind of confusion, it's almost intriguing.
It's I would lean towards misguided, where it's like she thinks this is a way of creating mystery and, like, fun, but it's just like, no, this is just a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I lean with that. But either way, it's not great.
No, it isn't great. And I would be fine with eliminating her. I just wanted to make that clear that, you know, if you're going to fake an accent, you know, definitely consider the context first. But be immediately forthcoming that your accent is fake. Don't try to pretend that it's real, because that's just strange.
Yeah, do it at the end of the intro. It's like, I'm just kidding. I'm from Akron.
Yeah, I just thought it would be boring if I just came up here with a regular old accent.
Exactly. You never get the payoff. You've got to build to a payoff. Mm-hmm. That is very, very important. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so we can go ahead and nix Nina.
I'm going to offer up... No, I'm offering Nina. That was Brie.
Oh, apologies.
Yeah, but, well, you got right to where I was going, and I was going to Nina, who is definitely one of those girls that just, they would cut to her at a rose ceremony, and I'd be like, who the fuck is that?
Oh, yeah, I have no recollection of Nina whatsoever.
No. Although she is 30, so, you know, by the show's rules, or at least Demi's, she is ancient and 1 foot in the grave.
Really old, yeah.
Cougar Squad, yes. Yeah. All right. I know there's others we would cut here pretty quickly.
So, Revian, I think her name was. Like, she was just one of those people that got cut immediately, and I think she might have had one line on the show.
I'm pulling up her thing right now, and I don't even remember ever seeing this human being. Yeah, okay. Cut. If we have no information to go off of, look, we're not going to sign up for, like, a 20-hour car drive with you.
I want to offer up Laura as well. Laura, 26, accountant. I don't know anything about her. She was one of the earliest people eliminated. But the fact that she's an accountant makes me think she's very boring.
Quite possibly. And no offense to any accountants who may be listening. I'm sure you do great work. But, you know, we don't know anything about her other than that. And, and that's not going to get us signed up any quicker. All right. Who's Jane? Man, okay, so we've got a list here that's ordered from, like, order of eliminations, and sure enough, the bottom of this list is just like, who are most of these
tough
women?
Tough to recognize them, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at Jane. Is she? No, she wasn't the sloth.
No.
I feel like
Alex G was the sloth.
I feel like we have to cut. I mean, I just don't even recognize this person.
I'm fine with that. I don't recognize her either. Tazuan?
See, don't recognize her.
She got eliminated early as well.
These are the easiest cuts.
Business development associate sounds really boring, so I'm just going to go ahead and cut her.
I recognize her face, but don't remember anything about her. So we can cut, I think, most of this early cut from the first week.
Let's keep Sloth Girl around for a little while.
Okay.
Devin, I think we could cut as well. Devin, 23, broadcast journalist, eliminated week one. I don't know her. You know what I mean? I just don't know her.
Don't recognize her. Nope, gone.
She's gone.
And like that, we're already down to like 20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All right, let's see.
Alex D is the sloth, so we'll keep her.
We'll keep her.
Erica McNutt, you didn't like the nut gimmick that much, did you?
I don't like it as a gimmick, but I do appreciate the celebration of any kind of, you know, name type of humor.
Mm.
Especially when, you know, let's face it, McNutt isn't a very attractive name.
Not so much. It's not feathery, flowery. No,
it's not. It makes me think of, I guess, nutting, like the verb.
Nutting the
ejaculating,
verb?
Ejaculating, yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, which, you know, is associated with sex, and sex is associated with sexy, but it's there's true. Such a huge chasm between McNutt and sexy.
You throw the Mick in front of it. Not a lot. What's the sexiest thing that has Mick in front of it? McNuggets.
McDonald's.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, so some things are sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we can get rid of her.
We'll get rid of her. Sorry, Erica. It was a worthy attempt. You know.
Angelique, we don't know. Cutter.
Marketing sales assistant. Yeah, that sounds really boring.
Alex B., on account of being a dog rescuer, I think that's grounds for not a cut right away.
I agree. Not just yet.
Though.
We'd have guaranteed things to talk about.
Yeah. That said, I remembered who she was. I pulled up the picture and, like, there's didn't seem to be a lot going on there.
Well, do you want to cut her? I'd be fine, cutter.
Let's not cut her just yet. Okay. There might be other more boring ones.
So Caitlin, 25, realtor. I remember being struck by how beautiful she was because she looks like Alicia Vikander. But Colton, like, just eliminated her mid-conversation because she was so boring, remember?
He's like, I can't handle another second of this. I'm getting paid millions of dollars to do this and I can't with you.
Do you think they're getting paid millions of dollars?
That's a good question.
Do you think they're getting paid at all?
I bet the actual Bachelor or Bachelorette probably is. I mean, they are the lead of one of the biggest stars. But then again, people that aren't from, you know, that world probably are willing to sign up for things for free or for exposure and stuff like that, where it's like the lead of any other show on like primetime television, much less one this successful, would be getting paid millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. But I would think too that there's probably a financial incentive for all the contestants because even if they get eliminated week one, they have to, in a sense, commit to several weeks away from work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which how many people can, that's a whole thing. Like how would you easily do that? You know? I would think some workplaces would be like, yeah, that's sweet. Go do that. You know, we'll give you the time off, but. Okay, so Catherine was, get rid of Catherine right away. The DJ, I thought so. She shows up in like the first episode, tries to steal Colton away like four times. And I really thought they were building her up to be like the big heel of the season. And it seems like they were positioning her for that early on. But then I think they realized they might have something with Demi and that there's more there and the more potential for drama.
Yeah, I think that Catherine didn't necessarily kind of deliver on the drama expectations that she set up in the first episode. I think she immediately established herself as someone everyone hated, but then never really did anything beyond that. But I will say about Catherine that she obviously is very willing to take control of the situation. And I bet that she would be willing to drive most of the way because she's so dominant, you know what I mean?
Oh.
And if I'm considering a potential road trip partner, someone who's at least willing to, you know, divvy up the driving responsibility halfway is very appealing to me.
Let me counter that though, because on the other hand, she showed up with her dog.
Which is great.
That's great. But so she showed up to like, hey, look at my dog, and then threw the responsibilities off to Chris Harrison right away. So like if she's willing to do that, who's to say she's going to be like, I'm not driving. You do it.
You know, that's a good point. I would be extremely concerned also about the prospect of just handing my dogs over to someone I didn't know. So that makes me think she doesn't take dog care particularly seriously. So I'm willing to eliminate Catherine. Let's get her out of here.
Out of here. Tracy. Who are you?
Tracy is resting bitch face girl. She got into it with Demi a lot.
Oh, I didn't mind her. I don't like her yet.
I didn't mind her either, even though she's ancient at 31 years old.
Well, the thing is, I just felt sympathetic for her because it's like, you know, she seemed a little older and wiser and she's dealing with this little nightmare Demi. And it's just like, I kind of felt bad for her. Like, you know, she's just got to exercise some restraint here, you know, and I felt for her there. Yeah. So I don't want to cut her.
We'll keep her around.
It would be fun to hear her talk, her real thoughts in the car about Demi. So I don't want to cut her yet. Elise, another ancient woman. I don't want to cut her yet. She seemed fine.
Yeah, she seemed like, I don't know necessarily that I would want to be on a long road trip with her because she didn't really seem exciting, but she seemed like, you know, level-headed and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Onyeka is next. And Onyeka I want to cut because I think she was trying to do a lot of, like, there's way more drama there with her and way more like just kind of sniping at other women and stuff rather than.
I will counter that by saying that she did come in with the air horn at one point.
That
makes
is funny.
Me think that she might be goofy and might be fun to have on a road trip.
She did snorkel props.
She did snorkel stuff. Yeah, she's mm-hmm. kind of willing to make herself seem silly.
She would be the one that's like, let's pull over and go to this water park out of nowhere. You know, like just something surprising. I don't say that because the snorkel. That meant to be a spontaneous thing. I think she would be like, let's go have some fun, guys.
Let's go look at the world's largest booger or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We don't have to cut on you
right,
yet.
Let's keep her.
All right. Nicole, for now. Social media coordinator.
25 years old. Nicole from Miami. Yeah. Nicole is known for always crying.
Yeah.
Which would be concerning for me. It would be distracting if she was crying while I was driving.
Yeah.
And if she was crying, I would be really reluctant to ask her to take the wheel so I could get a nap in. Because it's like, if you're not in a good way, I don't want you to be driving. So for that reason, And she'd probably just, I mean, no offense, but she'd probably just talk about her brother the whole time. So, like, if she wove her brother into every conversation.
Right, yeah. Right, that's right.
So, I would like to put her on the chopping block.
Okay, that's fair. We can do that. I don't see a lot of positives with her, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Sydney, the NBA dancer, mm-hmm. You know, your colleague, she seemed fine.
Yeah, she seemed fine. She seemed smart and not too prone to drama.
Yeah, like when she left, like the way she approached it, like she wasn't like trying to stir shit. It felt like she was giving a genuine just like, hey, heads up, mm-hmm. you know, be smart about this.
Also, you know? Being an NBA dancer, that is, if I'm being honest with the listeners at home, I'm not actually an NBA dancer. That is such a unique job. I bet you'd have a lot of really interesting stories yeah. that, you know, I've never met anyone that has that job. So I'd be interested to pick her brain about that.
And looking at the list of like careers on here, and again, mm-hmm. no offense to anyone with these careers, but boy, a lot of these financial associate, medical sales rep, you know,
content creator.
Yeah. Well, that could be really interesting or that could be complete bullshit.
Let's face it. Knowing Hannah G.
Hannah G was
the content creator.
Yeah, I'm trying to. There were two Hannahs. There, Hannah Beast.
Hannah G is the one that got to the end.
Right. Okay. Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. They never really went into what her content was. But anywho, yeah. NBA dancer is definitely one that stands out here as like, oh, that's an actual. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's keep her on. Demi. Okay. I think you got to keep Demi.
Got to keep Demi. I think Demi would be a lot of fun.
Thing is, she seems like there's all sorts of issues going on there with her.
But she seems like she'd be so much fun to talk to. And that level of confidence that she has in herself is something that is so foreign and beyond my comprehension to me that I would just want to just hear her and listen to her and hear her perspective on things. Because not as a, you know, as an exercise in like learning something new, but just more about peering into a completely different life and completely different perspective.
And ask about like her strategies and stuff when she was on the show. Because like, you knew what you were doing, right? When you accepted the rose each time and you're like, it would be my greatest pleasure to accept mm-hmm. this. Like, really just kind of like, I got a rose. Like, she had to know what she was doing. Mm-hmm. She was playing that heel so fucking well the mm-hmm. whole time. I don't think I would necessarily trust her, you know, as a friend. But, like, in terms of just, like, keeping me awake and keeping me engaged throughout the drive, I think she's a contender here.
Also, she seems like she'd have a heavy foot and would get us to our destination quicker.
She would be in jail 4 times by the time we got to the... Like her mother. Yes.
Right, so let's keep her on. Yeah.
Katie, medical sales rep.
Katie, not really particularly consequential, in my opinion. I'd be willing to eliminate her.
Trying to pull up a picture here. Let me see. Yeah. She was around for a while, but I don't feel like she had a whole lot to do.
Yeah.
You know? She had like one one-on-one date. Was that... What date was that? I don't remember what that was. It was just... Just kind of dry.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing really bad or good. It was just, she was just there for a while,
yeah,
it seemed.
Yeah, she seemed very, like, an adult, but, yeah, she didn't seem particularly fun.
I'm going to say this here. Kirpa, I don't know why she lasted as long as she did.
Mm-hmm.
She made it down damn near to the end when it was a pretty small group. And, like, I just feel like, hey, are we not seeing the dates? Are we not seeing the connection here? Because, like, I'm not seeing anything with her.
Yeah.
Like, again, nothing bad. I just feel like there was nothing, just nothing that they were showing.
Yeah, I agree. She was there for a while, and they never really seemed to have, like, they never had, I don't think they ever had a one-on-one date. Right? Did they have a one-on-one date?
If they did, I completely forgot it.
Yeah, and there just didn't seem to be a lot of... She didn't really move the needle at all, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'd be willing to cut Kirpa.
Let's cut her. And I realize I accidentally skipped over here. Hannah B., which she is... So she's eliminated in week 7, so kind of a little over halfway through. She's a big part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't particularly like her, and I know she went on to become the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
I just felt like, I don't know, starting out with the, like, college, every time she's talking, she's just talking about Roll Tide, and, you
the
know.
The thing that stuck out to me was the one time Colton wanted her to make a toast, and she just couldn't come up with anything to say. It just made me think there's just nothing going on up there. And she just didn't seem particularly bright, and she seemed, like, really nice, but maybe even that seemed kind of, like, she seemed a little two-faced and not genuine. Yeah. But, the fatal mix of obnoxious and dumb.
Yeah, like, the Hannah Beast thing and doing that face and the growl thing, like, every time she did that, I was like, just stop doing that. Please stop doing that.
I would like to eliminate
her. Okay, let's eliminate her, yes. I wonder how that season is with her. Just her as the focus and, like, 30 guys, you know, beating each other up over. Jesus. Annie, financial associate.
She was actually eliminated way early.
Oh, week two.
We just accidentally skipped over her. Yeah, I don't remember.
Recognize her.
I don't remember her at all, so I'm just going to go ahead and cut her.
Okay. Kaylin. Mm-hmm. I like Kaylin.
I like Kaylin as well.
I don't want to talk about cutting her yet.
I'm with you.
Okay. Tayshia. I like Tayshia a lot.
I really like Tayshia.
And I know she became a Bachelorette later.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, I guess it was the pandemic season. I looked it up. And it was like a weird split where it's like one girl was the Bachelorette for the first like 4, 5, 6 weeks or something. And then I don't know if it was the pandemic halted production or like she left or what the whole deal was. But Tayshia came in and like inherited all the dudes that were left. And then they added like 4 more dudes and just kept going with the season with Tayshia.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, yeah. But I liked her a lot. She was great.
She seemed great. She seemed really level-headed. And, like, when it all went down at the end when Colton just, like, eliminated her early on or earlier than she expected, she kind of took it in stride. And they were both – it was less a hostile response and more just like, hey, I'm here for you. Like, she was caring.
Yeah,
and
it was an adult.
She was an adult. Yeah, she seemed really great. She seemed like I have a lot of respect for her and how she handled herself on this show.
And I like all just totally game for like into the bungee jumping and the skydiving and all that stuff. Like she seemed awesome.
She seemed a lot of fun and level headed.
Yep. I don't have a bad thing to say about her. Hannah G, as we said earlier,
just nothing there. Nope. Just seems so boring. Like I remember like this was after Kaylin and Colton went on their 1-on-1 where Kaylin like opened up about her sexual assault, and then like a little shortly after that. Colton is like having an aside with Hannah G, and Hannah G talks about like, oh, I've been through, you know, this really hard time in my life. My parents were divorced when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, this is the defining tragedy in your life.
Yeah, the thing that is like incredibly common and like you've had an all right, you've had a blessed life if that's the worst thing that's happened.
And then I would be remiss if I didn't mention that post-credit scene where she's rapping with her dad.
I was hoping I wouldn't have to remember this.
And her dad says word and like does all these hand motions and it's just like, oh.
It is the most like Southern Christian conservative family sitting around the table and is like, we're going to do a hip hop. And it was just like, it went on for a while.
Yeah.
And like the dad starts trying to beatbox and she is doing the most like, my name is Hannah and I'm here to say, like, it's like, that is kryptonite to me.
Right. And on top of that, like when Colton went to her hometown to meet her family, I presume she had some say over what they did for a date. And she chose to take him to this, like, etiquette class.
Oh,
it was,
right.
Like, Southern etiquette, which, like, he got yelled at for eating bread wrong.
It's like a place Borat would have gone to make fun of,
you know? It's just so incredibly dumb. So I really want to eliminate her. I would not want to go on a road trip with her. Get out of here.
There's nothing, no fond thoughts there. Mm-hmm. So, again, probably not a nightmare person, but I don't think I'd have anything to talk to her about at all. All right, so now we've got it down to, 8, 9, 10, something like that. I think we got to cut Alex. Dog rescuer, that's a nice thing. I don't know how much you're going to talk about that.
I'm fine with that.
And outside of having a job that we, you know, find some interest in, I don't find any interest in her from her time on the show.
Yeah, I would also offer up Elise. I don't think there'd be much to talk to about her to talk to or with her to talk about.
Sure. So now let me read the survivors here. Cassie, which we haven't touched on yet, but she's the one who won. Tayshia, Kaylin, Demi, Sydney, Onyeka, Tracy, and Alex the Sloth. I'm still, I don't want to cut the Sloth yet. Again, I think that shows that, you know, you could stay entertained throughout a road trip with the Sloth, I think.
Yeah, she put her funny foot forward, like I said earlier, which reflects highly on her. Let's talk about Cassie.
Yeah.
So Cassie did win. Well, I guess if you want to call it that, they didn't get engaged, but she got the final rose.
Yeah, she was not quite ready to get married, but he felt a deep connection with her.
It was very obvious that she didn't want to move forward, but he like literally had a tantrum and jumped over the fence and like
ran into the Portuguese knight.
Yeah, because it was clear that she is who he wanted to choose, and she did not. You know, here's the thing about adults. If they want something and something is presented and that thing is presented to them and they have an option to take it, they will take it.
It's not like, especially
when, you know, you have a team of producers telling you to take it. You know what I mean? It's and the fact that she was indecisive, and then the fact that her father came and kind of further dissuaded her from moving forward with Colton.
He just seems like a guy that's dating my daughter. I don't know.
Yeah. And then there's that whole religious aspect to her that just is a huge, like, I wouldn't want to be stuck in a car with a super religious person.
Was that a big thing?
Yeah. I mean, she talked about God a lot. Like, yeah. For what it's worth, I went to her Instagram and she has, like, a psalm something in her bio. But we're not letting outside stuff influence
us. That's true.
But I will say that she talked about God a lot in the show, and her father talked about God a lot. And she just, you know, her father, like, that guy fucking sucked. Like, he was telling her about how, like, oh, when he met your mom, like, oh, I just knew. So then she has this expectation that the first person she's going to marry, she's just going to know from the moment she met him. Like, when I met you and I first started dating you, I didn't know I was going to marry you. Yeah. It was over time. I just fell madly in love with you. It certainly wasn't an instant thing. You know what I mean? It's just so unrealistic. And she also just seems like there's just not a lot there in terms of, like, interesting things to talk about. She just kind of seemed like one of those women that just giggles all the time.
She seemed nice and humble, and I don't know, there was, I think in the context of the show, I think she was one of the better contestants for sure. I was rooting for her, but everything you're saying is true. And like, you know, like the religion thing wouldn't like DQ her for me. You know, I've got lots of friends that are, you know, very religious and stuff, but it doesn't add anything into the, like, we have something in common to talk about category, you know, you and I not being religious. I'm trying to think of things that, like, would make her good for a road trip, because I do remember liking her on the show. But
that's the thing. Like, I'm kind of thinking of it as, like, purely as who I would want to go on a road trip as. If it comes to, like, people that, like, I think are nice or are good people, that'd be a different list.
Yeah, like, who we wanted to win and be with Colton and who we want to be on a road trip with is two different things. And, yeah, I really can't me wanting Cassie to win doesn't mean she'd be good for our purposes. So, exactly. You know what? I think we're gonna cut the winner here.
Yeah. Cut her.
Let's do it. All right, she's cut. We are down to Tayshia, Kaylin, Demi, Sydney, Onyeka, Tracy, and the Sloth.
I think we get rid of Tracy.
Sure, but I bet she'd be fun to have a beer with and just, you know, hear her talk about the experience and everything. You know, she seemed all right.
But she's just so old, you know what I mean?
It's too old. It's going to make the car smell like mothballs the whole way, you know? Sydney seemed fine. I just don't think there was enough that we saw. You know, she just seemed like a responsible, smart adult person, you know?
And that's a
low bar, but that's the show, you know?
I agree with that. And I would also offer up Kaylin. Kaylin seemed like a nice girl, but, you know, her profession is a beauty queen. I just don't think there'd be a lot to talk about.
Sure. Okay, so now it's down to Tayshia, Kaylin, Demi, Onyeka, and the Sloth.
Let's get rid of Onyeka. Onyeka. Like we said earlier, she seems like fun, but she was prone to some drama, and who needs that?
No. If the cops pull us over and she's gonna, you know, like, dive out and, you know, punch the cop or something, that's not gonna help anyone. All right, there's three left, so let's talk about what they have that they're bringing to the table here.
Okay.
The Sloth, probably funny and weird, right?
Yeah. Funny, weird, probably keep things interesting and make you laugh.
Demi, drama, stories. Interesting perspective.
Yeah, she would always, it seems like the kind of person that always has something to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. And I bet she is pretty self-aware about it. Yeah. There seemed to be a sharpness to her. You know what I mean?
There definitely seemed to be a level of, like, performance to what she was doing. Like, she knew what she was doing.
Which I can appreciate the showmanship and, like, knowing the context of the show you're on and knowing what they're looking for. Like, I bet the producers loved her.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then Tayshia, who just seems like probably just, like, I don't know, the best person on this list, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a calming aura about her. She just seems sensible and, like, kind of like a Dave Clapp figure almost, where it's just someone that I just, you know, just would like to have around.
And I feel would be great at listening to any kind of stories, you know, would have her own perspective on anything. And, yeah, Tayshia just seems awesome.
Yeah.
I want to read about her season and see how that went, if there's any big drama or anything there. So of these three, what do we cut?
Oh, it's a tough one.
What do we value here?
What do we value? Well, Tayshia seems great, but this is a road trip we're talking about.
It's true. It's true. Are you thinking?
I'm thinking she gets cut.
Okay.
Bye, Tayshia. It's been real.
All right. Tayshia's gone. It's down to Demi and the Sloth.
Demi and the Sloth.
The thing that makes it difficult is that we saw so little of the Sloth that we have to just make assumptions.
Right, but in a way, like, what she did show us was so powerful. You know what I mean?
It says a lot that you're going to show up to this fancy pants, hey, let's go and wear your evening gown and impress this fella.
She was willing to make an ass out of herself, but that, you know, it is, since we are down to the wire, it's worth bringing up again that it was kind of a dumb joke, the whole you go slow because you're a virgin thing.
Yeah.
You know, makes me question the quality of her sense of humor. I mean, if someone is always trying to make other people laugh, but they're just not very funny, I'd almost rather be around someone that was super serious, you know what I mean, than someone who tries to be funny and is not.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
I get it. Do you think, though, that Demi would be fun for the first couple hours as you're getting all those stories and everything? And then, like, you know, longer into it, maybe, like, rampant narcissism and things like that would just become more grating and the novelty would wear off?
That's definitely a possibility. In my mind, it's just, like, she just represents the type of person that is so outside of my scope of, like, the people that I know personally. Same. And who I am personally, that I feel like the novelty of that difference would be, you know, would be preserved throughout at least the duration of a road trip, at least en route to the destination. I don't know if we would necessarily do the round trip, but
yeah. Boy, I'm second guessing the Tayshia cut.
I'm not.
Okay. Well, she's cut. There's no going back. She's in the car going to the airport.
Yeah. She's got eliminated.
I'm torn. Are you leaning a certain direction?
The thing about Sloth Girl, the fact that we don't know a lot about her means that we can kind of project who we want her to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this is our list and our decision makes me kind of lean towards Sloth Girl. You know what I mean? It's a little less of a wild card. I feel like Demi's a woman of extremes. And IT account manager indicates a level of familiarity with computers and intelligence that, you know, would be good to be around. You don't want to be around someone, you know, some anyone who's capable of holding up a decent conversation.
Do we give it to Alex D?
I think Alex D, Sloth Girl, gets it.
All right, the Sloth Girl gets it.
Let's go on a road trip.
She has to show up in the sloth outfit, and the AC is broke in the car, so hopefully not too smelly in there. But Alex, congratulations. We know you're listening.
Congratulations, Alex.
You know, we are part of Bachelor Nation now. You're part of Painting the Stream Nation. Congrats. We are going from Connecticut to...
Telluride.
Is that Washington?
Yeah.
I think that's Washington, right?
Yes.
How about San Diego? That's like Southwest all the way.
We are going to Southwest all the way. Tijuana.
There we go. Put it in the GPS. Here we go. Get the snacks.
All right, Alex D. You go, girl.
Yes, she wins. And also, we should mention, turns out that the great love of Colton and Cassie, they have restraining orders between them now. And like, I guess Colton was like stalking her and sending threatening text messages and stuff. So like we learned this in the middle of watching the finales. So it's like the juxtaposition of just like, ah, oh, this love, we're going to persevere and we're not going to move too fast. You know, it's, you know, things are too perfect to ruin it with the pressure of marriage and stuff. And then like, since we already knew who won, we felt safe to like look stuff up. Mm-hmm. And like the first stuff we saw was just like, oh, restraining order and stalking stuff. It's like, Jesus, what the fuck happened here?
Yeah, so, not good.
Yeah, apparently true love did not come out of this reality show.
No.
But what's your takeaway after your first Bachelor experience?
Like I said, you know, it did what it was trying to do. Even though there's like a perfect recipe for interesting TV, there's it always requires the touch of a perfect edit and a, you know, skilled production team. Mm-hmm. And that can't be overlooked. You know, I feel like that was pretty obvious. It's like when I look at something like Terrace House, which is just kind of like, granted, it seems like there's some influence by the production team for sure. But in terms of comparison, it seems much more kind of hands off, just plain presentation, just, you know, showing it as it happens rather than sculpting the narrative. And in that respect, you know, it is kind of hard to watch. You know, it's one of those things, like I mentioned in our previous episode, about how like things that are so mainstream and so hugely popular aren't like doing, usually don't do things that are particularly interesting. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, my takeaway from it is that I could totally see why people enjoy it. I'm glad that I had this experience with you. Panning the Stream was a great excuse to finally watch it. I do not think I will watch another season of it.
Fair enough. I'll say, yeah, I watched the one like, you know, 9 years ago or whatever. And, I found it interesting back then. I find it very interesting now. But yeah, I think if I watched another one, it would probably be like damn near a decade again and be like, okay, let's see. Let's remember what I kind of liked about this show.
Yeah. Bachelor of the future. 1001001001001. They're all robots.
Things are going to change in the next 7 years, apparently.
They're dating answering machines.
Okay, we would watch that.
And Siri's and Alexis.
Yes, we would watch that. Absolutely. Yes. I think it is a level of like kind of masterclass editing and production and reality TV that like definitely puts it above the kind of trashier, like, you know, oh, here's Brett Michaels is trying to fuck, you know, like whatever that one was, or Flavor Flav, House of Love, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still so produced, and I tend to prefer, like, you know, when producing podcasts and stuff, I always find that like the role of a producer a lot is knowing when to like step back and not get your hands in it and just let things happen. Like, that's what I liked about Terrace House, is it didn't feel like producers were, you know, getting their hands all over it and everything. Sure. And you can see the production of The Bachelor, you know, every second you watch. And sometimes that's good. And it's got some value, obviously. It's not necessarily my favorite way of watch or of television to be produced, but it's, I get it.
Yeah.
It's well done.
The Bachelor, sure. Colin. I get it,
yes. So that is that. That is The Bachelor. I feel like these dogs are getting a little antsy here. So we will move to the end here by thanking all of the patrons for at patreon.com/paintingthestream. We keep it simple. It's a $5 level. It gets you early access to episodes. It gets you ad-free episodes. It gets you access to the Discord.
Wow.
And most importantly, it gets... for you, written for you by Bonk. It's a Bonk Who.
Whoa.
That's right. That's you saying that right now. Because, wait, that's who saying that, Bonk?
Me?
Who? No, who's the one getting it?
Oh.
Who's the one going, wow, because they're getting a Bonk Who?
Oh, Greg.
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 Hello, Greg.
Greg. Good to see you, Greg.
That's how you specify it on the pledge. Then, like, please pronounce it like
it's
this.
It's actually pronounced Greg. Yeah, you have to say it like,
yeah. You attach a WAV file, yeah.
Greg, what can I say that hasn't already been said about you? You're a quality person. Your light shines bright. You walk into a room and everyone looks and smiles. They close their eyes in ecstasy and bask in the glory of Greg. Your grandma makes the best cookies.
Wow.
Your father is a great baseball coach. Your first grade teacher often remarks on what an amazing student you were and how she knew you had so much promise from the very beginning. And Greg, I'm here to confirm that. I want to thank you for being our supporter, and this Bonk Who is for you. I always liked Greg, but something felt off with him. Turns out, he's not real.
What the fuck? We said we put the guy over here for 5 minutes, and then turns out he's not real?
Listen, I can't argue with the Bonk Who. I just put my heart on the table, and if you don't like it, you can shove it up your mystery hole.
Jeez, mystery hole. I have a mystery hole?
We all do. It's all deep within us, and no one wants to see it. God. It's got cobwebs on it.
I don't like this. I skipped that anatomy class, which brings us right to our Hugh game question of the week.
Hugh game.
Did you ever play hooky or cut class in school?
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Me too, constantly.
Yeah, especially when I was a senior in high school. I think it was like an 8-period day, and I would get work release so I could leave like 2 periods early, and because it was lunch and then the last 2 periods, I just left at lunch, so that immediately nixed like three classes from my day. And then I was in AP art, which was 2 classes, and because I was the only one that was like actually serious about art in school, my teachers didn't make me go there, so
oh,
I was
nice.
Just like there for 2 classes, and then I would just go home.
That's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had a similar thing, well, similar in some ways, in that in high school, in senior year, 4 of my 7 hours a day were in video production classes, because
mm-hmm.
1 was actual video production, and 3 were, when you're in the gifted program, you could take independent studies.
Mm.
And so I took 3 hours of independent study, just for editing, learning,
yeah.
You know, just putting together little comedy sketches and stuff. And a little bit into a semester, I got banned from the video production lab. Because I made a short film that was like, you know, look, I was a film dork watching a bunch of Tarantino. And of course, me and my dopey 17-year-old friends thought we could do that. And we, you know, I made this short film where, you know, there's a bunch of guns and stuff like that. And it's just a dumb wannabe Tarantino thing. And, you know, very kind of conservative religious teacher in Kansas was not okay with the product and said he didn't want me making such filth
on his
computers.
Was this the video professor, the video teacher? That,
mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this was the teacher. And so he said, nope, not okay with, like, he called my parents and or my mom, at least. And my mom knew that I just had a, you know, sense of humor, like knew I was into like all these movies and stuff. And so my mom didn't take much stock of it.
Yeah.
But the teacher was like, well, no, he's not going to be doing it on my stuff. But that never like got to the people who did enrollment and stuff. So no one ever called me on it. So I basically just 4 hours a day wasn't allowed to be in the class I was supposed to be in. And I worked at AMC Theaters and GameStop at the time, which, goddammit, I wish I would have got stock options at both those jobs back then. And so I would just drive. I didn't tell my mom about any of this, about getting banned from the class. So I would just drive to either of my 2 jobs and watch free movies or play games, you know? Like, it was just fucking awesome.
That's
I loved
great.
It. And on top of that, I actually just, like, skipped a bunch of, like, actual classes and then in college never went to class ever. So
famous,
I would say,
famously.
Definitely. But yeah, that's my story, and that's our podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you to Tom Monda for the theme song.
Thank you, brother.
And thanks to all for listening. Give us the old 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and we hope to see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.